Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Thursday night business meeting. I am Brother Miles, and I am presiding. I sent out an agenda for this meeting, and we will have an agenda every week from now on of things to be discussed and to go over. I wanted to cover a few things this week, and I think what I'm going to do is send out a link to this meeting once it's over to some people. Once it's over to some people who definitely need to hear this. We suffer a lot of things, and a lot of people don't realize that we suffer, or they suffer a lot of things because they fail to honor the Most High, and they fail to be obedient to His Word. Okay, so all those who are, you know, especially some of the things that I'm looking at that the Most High is putting on my heart to finance certain aspects of projects that we have with the land. Where we can get them done, you know, get things done within 2 to 3 years rather than, you know, spread it out over time. I want to discuss with the group all those who are committed to, you know, doing, to living on the land and to establishing the community. There are some things that I'm going to institute. I can't institute them without your agreement. Concerning, you know, life insurance and those types of things. And so before your eyeballs roll back in your head and you're like, what the heck is Brother Miles talking about? I would pray that you hear me out on the subject. Hear me out on the subject. And understand what it is that we are endeavoring to do. The Most High has shown me these things, and I even think that it would be good for each of you to do with your own family, if you so desire. But, you know, there's going to be some benefits to this, even the way that I'm doing it for individual members. So let's do this. Let's do our statement of faith. And give me a hot second here. Let's go ahead and do our statement of faith. Well, actually, let me do this because we have a lot to cover tonight. I make a motion that, and first of all, good evening, everyone who is on the line. Shalom.
Brother Mal.
Shalom.
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 I'm knowing there's some other people that are going to call in. They're going to be late as usual, but we're going to go ahead and start. So we're going to do the statement of faith. I have a lot of things to cover tonight. I want to make sure I go get through it all on this evening. And a couple of proposals. These are just in general. I will, you know, put them in writing formally by the next meeting after I'm supposed to meet with a person concerning some things so I can have, you know, details and particulars. But what I've been looking at to help us do what it is that we're doing. So I make a motion that we call this meeting to order. Do I have a second?
I second.
All right, all in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed say nay. The ayes have it. This meeting is officially in order, and we shall proceed with our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yahweh. We just glorify you, Father. We magnify you and lift you up. We magnify your name, O Yahweh. We thank you, Father, for giving us a sound mind. We thank you for guiding us, directing our paths. We thank you, Father, for all that you have done. And we just want to honor you on this day, Father. We want to do your business according to your will and according to your way. And, Father, we invite you to this meeting, Father, that you would come and that you would preside, that you would be sitting here in the meeting with us. Let it be your words that are heard. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Let us go to holy hands raised to the Most High. Our Father. Well, I don't even know if I said this, but let me say it right now. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Turn toward the east, which is the direction that the sun rises. That'll be in the direction of Jerusalem. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. All right. The book of Psalms, chapter 133. Psalms 133. And we're going to begin in verses 1 through 3. A song of the grief of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descends upon the mountains of Zion. For there Yah commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. During this meeting, we're going to be discussing tithing and offering because it's important to the ministry. It's important to the kingdom of the Most High. And for those of you who are tithing, you know that I appreciate you and the ministry appreciates you. To those who are not and you consider yourself part of this body, we would wish that we're not even wishing, because the scripture says that we are to command it, that you tithe and that you pay offerings. Okay. If we're not going to do things in the way that the scripture says to do it, as far as the kingdom goes, with everybody having all things in common, then the system that has always been in place has been tithing and offering. Okay. So we want to talk about that on this evening as part of this business meeting. And I wanted to cover this because there are some things that we want to do, and I want to do it with the tithe and the offerings. As I said, I don't consume it upon myself. The tithing and the offerings are my payment from the Most High for the work that I do. Okay. So we want to go into the scriptures and go over this so that, and I'm doing it for this business meeting so that, you know, the congregation has an understanding in this area, and this is not a full lesson on tithes, but it's the overview lesson, you know, the main part, so that it is documented for the meeting. And then some of the things that in future meetings for those that take part, you know, it will be invitation only. The invite will go out, but it will be invitation only because there's going to be things that are discussed, as I said in the past, that everybody should not have, you know, be not privy to. Okay, and there are people who say that they want to take part, they want to be involved, but, you know, they don't really want to put any skin in the game. And that, you know, having no skin in the game means that, you know, you don't have to make a commitment. Okay. Don't have to make a commitment to anything. If you have no skin in the game, then it's easy for you to have a change of heart or have, you know, to run it off and do other things. To not put forth your best and full effort into whatever it is that you're doing. So, you know, if you go to buy a house, they require an earnest payment. And that earnest payment, you can't get back. So if you're not serious about buying the house, then you wouldn't want to go as far as what, putting down an earnest payment? Because it'd be money that you're what, throwing away. I mean, I don't really want this house, but let me pay the earnest payment anyway. I'm interested. So they want to know that you are truly interested and you're committed. So you can't get the earnest money back. Okay. So we want to take a quick look at tithing. And a lot of people don't believe in tithing, believe it or not. They just feel like, you know, whatever they offer. But that is not the scriptures. And so I want to quickly go over this. So let us go to, as part of this meeting, let's go to Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. All right, amen. Leviticus 27 and verse 30 and 31. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is Yah's. It is holy unto Yah. And if a man will at all redeem out of his tithe, because see, when you don't pay tithes, you get in arrears, and there is a penalty. A lot of people don't know this. He shall add thereto a fifth part thereof. So for people who have never paid tithes, they so far in arrears, they would never catch up. But the truth of the matter is, there is a penalty for missing a tithe. Okay? And as part of this meeting, I want to make sure that we have understanding in this area, because a lot of the times we struggle with some things in life. We can't get rid of the devourer. We're always, something's always coming up and taking the money, and we're always losing a job. We don't have favor on the job. We can't figure out why we don't have favor. You know, we're doing good work, but it always seemed like, for whatever the reason, they find a way to, you know, get rid of us or whatever. We can't seem to get the jobs we want. This is all because we don't honor the Most High. And tithe is really, he says, it's his. It's all his. Okay? And so what he does with it is not anybody's business.
Amen.
You know, that you know, a lot of people want to try to dictate what happens to the tithe. The Most High says it's his. So let's see what he says to do about it. Let's see what he does with it. Okay? Let's go to Numbers. Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18, starting in verse 21. And when you have it, say amen. I'm just going to get verse 21.
Amen.
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 All right, I want to make sure everybody's on the same page, because if I ask you to read and you talk about where we at, then I'll be like,
Hello.
Numbers 18 and 21. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel as an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. The tenth of all that was generated in Israel went to the priesthood for their service to the Most High. This is how he paid his priesthood. That's why he says in Malachi chapter 10, will a man rob Elohim? And the people said, how have we robbed you? He said, in tithes and offerings. So we got to understand that this is how he funded his payroll for his priesthood. This didn't change in the New Testament. And so I want to show that in the New Testament that it didn't change. Because a lot of people will say, well, the Levitical priesthood is not here. Well, let's see what the Most High says concerning this. Okay. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're going to start in verse 1. And when we have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Yeshua HaMashiach, our master? Are not you my work in Yah? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of my apostleship are you in Yah. My answer to them that do examine me in this, have we not the power to eat and drink? Now, he's talking about him and Barnabas, okay? And, you know, really what this chapter is talking about is that the people didn't want to support the ministry. So I want us to have this understanding in mind when we're reading this. This is why he's asking these questions. Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of Yah and Cephas? Who goes a warfare anytime at his own charges? In other words, if a king wants to go to war, he has to hire, his army is really who he hired to go to war. He got to pay them wages. So he's saying, who goes a warfare anytime in his own charges? The soldier don't pay to go to war. The king pays him to go to war. Everybody in the military today gets paid to be in the military. And if the government says go to war, they go to war. So the soldier is not going to pay to go to war. Okay, it's going to be his government or the king, whoever. As well, let's see. Who plants a vineyard and eats not the fruit thereof? If you plant a vineyard, I don't care what it is, you planning to eat out of it, even if it's just a little bit, to make sure it's good. Or who feeds a flock and eats not the milk of the flock? Now, they're using all agrarian or farmer and farmer type analogies here because this is what our forefathers did. They were herdsmen and they were farmers. When they settled down, in Jerusalem, then they were still herdsmen, but they had people, it takes everything to build a what city? Everybody doing different types of jobs. Everybody didn't grow crops. Everybody didn't have sheep. You had jewelers. You had government workers. You had every type of occupation. So if people thought that the tithe was only, you know, part of the herd, because I've heard people say this, well, I need to bring my food and I need to go to the store and buy some food to bring my tithe. I said, are you kidding me? I said, that's not how that works. That's not how you make your living. They've made their living by this. But the tithe could also be converted to money, and I'm going to show that as well. Okay. Keep reading. Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? Now, we're in the New Testament. He said, hey, am I saying these things as a man because I'm doing this work? Or doesn't the law say the same thing? So we didn't get away from the law. People keep trying to get away from the law, and the concepts that are in the law are still in effect in the New Testament. Okay, it's just the intent of what the Most High always wanted. What he always wanted is what the New Testament expresses. Okay, because men corrupted things. And Messiah came to set that record straight. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Does Elohim take care of the ox? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? When you got an ox going around in a circle and he's treading out corn, they said, don't muzzle that ox. Allow him to eat some of the corn that he's what? Treading out. Let him eat at his will, whatever he needs. Don't muzzle him. That's what that verse means. Okay? Because you're not going to pay the ox money. So what are you going to pay him in? Feed. Let him eat. Don't muzzle him. Don't try to work him and then say, well, you can't eat none of this feed that you're trodden under. You're worthy of that. You're owed that as the ox. Now, you might pay the owner so much an hour to use his ox. Or if it's your ox, you're going to let him eat freely. You might pay the owner so much an hour and plus not muzzle his ox. Okay? But he's making an example here. So is he saying that for the ox sake? He said, hey, the Most High takes care of the ox. He says, don't muzzle him. Let him eat. Okay? He said it for our sake so we understand that whenever we work for him, we're supposed to be paid for working for him. That's why I say nobody that's part of the ministry is supposed to be doing it for free. Nobody. Okay. For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that plows should plow in hope, and he that threadeth should thread in hope, should be partakers of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Your money is carnal. Okay. Amen. Your tithe is carnal. The food is carnal. It's stuff that we use for the body. It's things that we use to obtain things in the world. So he said, hey, if we sow to you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Now he's going to tell us what that is. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Now, the government, does the government take 10% out of your check or whatever they take out of your check before you get it?
Yes, they do.
They don't even ask you, do they?
Nope.
No, they don't.
Take it. Okay. And they take it, you know, they take it out of your gross. They don't say, hey, let's subtract your tax, and then we'll take out what we want. No, they take out from your gross, they take out 10%. The Most High says, I gave you the gross. So you pay me on your gross just like you pay the government.
Amen.
I'm actually supposed to pay him first, but they take it from you first. Let's keep on going. If others be partakers of this power over you, like the government, are not we rather, nevertheless we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Now he said, hey, we are authorized to do this, but we haven't done it to you. Okay. Do you not know that they which minister about the holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. The priest and his family were required to eat those sacrifices. They were required to eat those meal offerings. Their whole family took part in it. Their servants took part in it. The only people that couldn't take part in those things at the altar were visitors. So the priest and his family ate of the altar. They ate of the tithe. Okay? Even so has Yah ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Nobody should be expecting anything of the ministry and not give anything into it. In this case, they would have people to purpose. We're sending so much. We got a tithe, and then we're taking up an offering to send in support of the ministry. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy. So it didn't change in the New Testament. The tithe, it was holy unto the Most High. Holy unto the Most High. It is given to the priesthood for their service to the Most High. Takes time to do everything. And he says, hey, if you're doing this, I don't want you to do it for free. This is how you should make your living if you're dedicated to it. But a lot of people think that ministry is, even a lot of churches think this way, that ministry is, if you have a ministry at a church, then your time is voluntary. And if they want to give you something, it's a love offering. I said, that ain't what the scriptures say. It's not what it says. So the church even today is out of order in this area. Deuteronomy chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 24. And when we have it, let us say amen.
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 Right, amen. Deuteronomy 14, verse 24 through 27. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which Yah thy Elohim shall choose to set his name there, when Yah thy Elohim has blessed thee, then shalt thou turn it, the tithe, into money, and bind up the money in thine hand, and shall go unto the place which Yah thy Elohim shall choose. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatever thy soul lusteth. Now this is for the feast that we're supposed to have one day a year with Yah. This party. But it happens once every 3 years that we were supposed to have a feast that we would take. There's three tithes that, people, when I teach this lesson about the tithe, there's not just the tithe of the tenth part. There's the tithe of the third year. There's different tithes for different reasons. Okay. This one right here, he's saying, hey, you're going to bring your tithe, but this particular tithe is for you to have a party with me and the people to have a party with me and the poor people, and don't forget the priest. Okay. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thou so lust after. For oxen, for sheep, for wine, for strong drink, or for whatever thy soul desires. And thou shalt eat thereof before Yah thy Elohim, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household. And the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he has no part nor inheritance with thee. In other words, the Levite, them weren't supposed to, they didn't have a land that was given to them. They were given land inside of each city. But their pay and how they live was what? Off the tithe. And so even for this one, he says, hey, if you live too far away and you can't carry your tithe, your herds are too big, your crops, if you're a farmer, are too big, then convert it to money. And bring that, and then in this case, when you get to where I have said to be, then you can buy whatsoever for the tithe, and then you can come and have a party with me with it. So it wasn't that the tithe was never converted. And I don't know. Anybody on the line? Anybody on the line, farmers?
No, not me.
No.
Anybody? Sheep herders?
Nope.
Nope.
So when we get paid and we make our living with money, that is what we pay in.
Amen.
And that tenth is holy unto the Most High. A tenth of it. And when we don't do it, he said there's a penalty for it, even to add a fifth part to it, to redeem your tithe. So, There's a lot of people, and I know they don't be wanting to hear this, but, yeah, Most High has late charges on his side. He says, and if you want to make it good, you want to redeem it, then you need to pay a fifth part. Add a fifth part to it, whatever your tithe is. If your tithe was $100, a fifth part of $100 would be what? 20. So you would send in 120 to redeem your tithe, whatever was late. Okay. Let's go to Genesis chapter 14. Let's look at where this first started. Genesis chapter 14, and we'll get verses 18 through 20. And when you have it, you'll say amen.
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 Thank you.
Amen.
And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High Elohim. Now, this is before what? The Levitical priesthood. This is before Israel ever existed. This is with who? Abraham. Okay. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High Elohim, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High Elohim, which has delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Melchizedek didn't pay Abraham. Abraham paid Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High.
Amen.
Okay. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 7. Because we're not, you know, we're told that he paid him tithes of all. But let's see what the scriptures actually say he actually paid him. Go to Hebrews chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 1. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Hebrews 7, verse 1. All right, amen.
Amen.
For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High Elohim, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth. How much did Abraham give?
A tenth part.
A tenth part of all. He didn't say, let me take out what I want first and then let me give a tithe. He didn't say, let me pay my men first and then let me give a tithe. He paid the tithe first out of all that he had, and then he paid his men. And then he didn't take nothing for himself out of this. But let's read it. Well, you can't read that part. That's in the Old Testament. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also the king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the son of Elohim, abideth a priest continually. This is like, you know, this is the Most High himself, Melchizedek. Okay, the Most High in flesh. But he didn't come to be a redeemer at that time. He was king of Salem. Without father, without mother. Without beginning of days. The Most High is a priest. Messiah comes and reestablishes this priesthood on the earth. The Melchizedek priesthood. That's why it says, and after that also, the son of Elohim abideth a priest continually. Messiah is our priest continually now under the order of the Melchizedek order. So Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek before what? Which priesthood existed?
Before the Levitical priesthood?
Before the Levitical priesthood existed. The Levitical priesthood paid tithes into the Melchizedek priesthood.
Amen.
So because there is no Levitical priesthood today, doesn't get anybody out of paying tithe. Because the Melchizedek priesthood still exists.
Amen.
It existed before Abraham. It existed before the Levitical priesthood. Let's continue. Now consider how great this man was, and to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoil. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, a commandment to request tithes. It said to do what?
No.
To take tithes.
Take tithes.
That is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham. Melchizedek is not counted amongst the Levites.
Mm-mm.
He's not counted of, you know, amongst the Levitical priesthood.
Mm-mm.
And blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes. But there he received them, and of whom it is witness that he lives. And as I may say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. How did Levi pay tithes in Abraham if Levi wasn't even born yet?
Man.
For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. This priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, paid tithes into the Melchizedek priesthood because they were paying tithes to who? The Most High. The Most High is the only being without father and mother, without age. Everything else was created. That's how we know that Melchizedek is the Most High in the flesh. But he's not coming. He wasn't coming to be the what? Son of man. But he still used that same example, that he was like the son of Elohim, in that he abided in a priesthood forever. Okay. So we are up under the Melchizedek priesthood today. This is what Messiah came to reestablish. We have to go into another chapter to see that. But I'm just showing you that this existed when? Prior to the Levitical priesthood. And it's the priesthood that we're under. So we don't pay tithes in the Levitical priesthood, even though the Levitical priesthood is following the laws of the Melchizedek priesthood and is following all the regulatory requirements of the Melchizedek priesthood. So the requirements and the rules didn't change. It just changed because the Most High said, hey, I am... this banning Israel, and I'm scattering them throughout all the nations. So them as a priesthood doesn't exist today. But the laws for tithing that was given up under the Levitical priesthood still apply to the Melchizedek priesthood. And so we got to understand that. It didn't change. So he says, rather than eating from the altar, where they made the animal sacrifices at, where they, you know, sacrificed animals, where they cooked them on the altar as a sacrifice, and the priest was required to eat them and his family. He says the present day priesthood is supposed to eat of the what? Gospel. That means that the individuals who are receiving the gospel and the individuals that are in the body are supposed to still be paying tithes and supposed to still be giving offerings. If the gospel is free and you're not supposed to do any of this stuff, then people say, oh, well, it's whatever you want to give. No, the tithe is still in effect. Because you got churches that teach that, you know, the tithing is not in effect. Whatever you want, whatever your free will offering is. Your offering never had anything to do with the tithe.
Amen.
Your offering is supposed to be your offering to the Most High to show, you know, to show appreciation to him as a form of worship. That's why he says, how have you robbed me in tithes and in what?
Offering.
The tithe is his. It was never yours. And if you were living on the tithe, then you were living on his. You were living on 110%. Let me put it that way. Because 10% is his. A tenth of everything that you make, that you own, is his. He says it's holy to him.
Amen.
Your offering, think about it this way. You want to show the Most High how you feel about him. That's your offering. So if you were a farmer or if you were a herdsman and you had a flock of sheep, you wouldn't want to give the Most High the most scraggly sheep you had.
Nope.
You wouldn't want to give them the one that was blind and maimed, crippled.
No.
If you really valued the Most High, you will pull out what? Your fattest,
your best
sheep.
Your best.
And give it to him.
Amen.
So many people got a $2 God. Because they pull out
they're
at church, they pull out their pocket, their offering. Oh, here's a couple of dollars. Here's $5. Don't realize that they're not paying a tithe. They're making an offering. And this is how I feel about you, Most High. They don't understand the mentality behind it. They don't understand that they got the mentality of who? Cain.
Amen.
So we have to understand that if we want to be like Abel in our offering, Abel gave his fattest and his best.
And his best.
If you're not giving the Most High your fattest and your best, then you're giving him a Cain offering. If you're giving him an offering at all. You got to understand this, okay? Because we want the Most High to honor us, but he said we dishonor him.
Mm-hmm.
And when we don't know, you know, it's different when we don't know, but if we know, then what can
willful,
we say?
Right?
Huh?
That's being willful, right?
It's willful, because you know. Because you know. So people are all right paying their tithe, but when it comes to an offering, they are not connected. They're two separate things. You come to the Most High, he says, a tenth is mine. A tenth of whatever I bless you with is mine. Bring it to me. Now, your offering. You say you worship me. You want to bring me an offering. You want my blessings. It's not like you can buy his blessings. He's not saying that. He says, but you have to pay oblation to me. You have to pay adoration to me. You have to bring me a gift.
Amen.
Show me how you feel about me. That's your offering. As he, and your offering, you know, you can pay it in parts, but your offering is really something that you purpose. You sit down and you say, this year I'm going to do X for the Most High, or this year I'm going to give the Most High X. And it has nothing to do with your tithe. I'm going to do this as an offering to you, Most High. Not, and really not expecting anything from you. This is just to show you how I feel.
Appreciate it. Yep.
Right.
Amen.
Yep. Amen.
So let's get this verse and we'll come and I'm going to finish this up. Let me find this verse. Because this is about offerings. Mm-hmm. Testament. Oh, maybe that verse don't have her in it. Sometimes I hate this program that I'm using. One second here. Let me find us another way. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. I think we were just there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9.
Okay.
No, we weren't there. We were in 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's just start in verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Amen. Everybody else there?
Amen.
All right. For as touching the ministering to the saints, let's talk about ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain. Now we're bragging on you guys. In this behalf, on this matter of giving, that as I said, you may be ready. Now this is purposing, that you may be ready. Happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. I'm not trying to embarrass you, but that we would be ashamed. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort or encourage the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty. What is bounty?
Your gift.
Yeah, it's like a payment. Let's look up this word bounty. 2 Corinthians. Nine. And we were in verse 5. Let's see this word here, bounty. Benefit. Or largesse, blessing, a matter of bounty, fair speech. Okay, and let me look at another place. Bounty, a sum paid. They're saying a sum paid for killing or capturing a person or an animal. A sum paid to encourage trade. So in this case, this is a sum paid, but it's to help the ministry, to help the saints that are in need. Okay. So let's continue in this reading. As a matter of bounty, and not as what covetedness. Not that we're coveting what your money, but this is something that you owe. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully, abundantly, shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he what? Purpose in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for Elohim loves what kind of giver?
Cheerful.
I have to find the verses. They are not coming to me in my mind right now. But the Most High tells you, if you don't want it, he don't require anything. He don't require or need anything from us. Nothing that we can give him that he needs. But he says, if you're going to give anything to him, don't give it grudgingly or of what?
Necessity.
Because you want something. Most High, I need you to move on my behalf. I'm going to give this $1,000 love offering so that you can give me favor in this venture I'm about to do. Most High says, I don't want that. Because it's not really a what? Offering. You want something. It's not what your offering is supposed to be about. Shoot. They always got their hands up. Always asking for money. I don't want to give it. I ain't going to give it. The Most High says, he don't what?
He don't want it.
No, he don't want it. Because you don't want to give it freely. I don't want it. But surely don't be thinking I'm going to bless you freely. You got a different standard. You don't want to bless me, but you want me to bless you. You don't want to give to those that I say give to, but you want me to give to you. He says, if you're going to give to me, give it to me with a glad heart. Be happy to give it to me, and I will bless you. I will give it back to you. Let's continue. Verse 6. Now, we were down in verse 7. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For Elohim loveth a cheerful giver. This is not talking about your tithe. He said the tithe is holy unto him. It's his. He said the Levites were commanded to take the tithe. This is about purpose in your heart to give to the Most High. And Elohim is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in what? All things.
All things.
I'll make sure that you have everything you need and more.
Amen.
May abound to every good work, as it is written, he that has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor. He says, I'm going to do that by your giving. And I'll give back to you. A lot of people can't be blessed. The Most High can't even give them riches. Want to know why? They will consume it on themselves.
Yep.
They'll consume it to do wickedness. Go buy alcohol. Go buy a prostitute. Go to casino and gamble. He said those things are holy. You don't take the holy things of the Most High and go do wickedness with them. I have to find that verse too, because the Levites, the priests, are commanded. You don't take the holy things of the children of Israel and discard them. You don't take the holy things of the Most High. And he said the tenth is what? Holy to him. I'm going to give it to the priest. That don't mean the priest shouldn't be going doing something he ought not be doing with it. Okay. So that is the quick overview on tithes and offerings. The quick lesson. Mosiah says it's holy to him. It is a tenth of everything. And we don't get out of it. We don't get out of it because we're in the New Testament. That is because the Levitical priesthood doesn't exist anymore. The tithe was instituted way before the Levitical priesthood. The Most High just made sure that Israel, what, abided by it and gave it all to them. Remember, a tenth is holy to me. And just like Abraham paid a tenth to me, you're going to pay a tenth to me. In the New Testament. Takes us back to the old. Tells us that just as Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, and just as the priest ate of the altar, the priest of the day is supposed to eat of the what? Gospel. It's not something that they're doing voluntarily for voluntary sake, like a lot of ministries try to make it, a lot of churches try to make it. Everybody that's involved in the ministry in that church is supposed to take part in the tithe.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the altar workers, the choir, the ushers, you're supposed to take part in the tithe. That's why everybody has to pay it. It's to pay for everything that happens in the church. It's to pay everybody that does a work in the church. Let me put it that way. It's not supposed to pay for the electric bill for the church. It's not supposed to pay the water bill for the church. It's not supposed to pay the rent for the church or the building fund for the church. Most High told the people, you want a sanctuary? What did he tell them? Bring the stuff for it. You people bring the stuff for it that you if you want. If you want a sanctuary. And everybody had to bring it of a free will offering. So we get these things twisted. Mosiah says, you want a church? Then you, people who want the church, bring everything that's needed. Maybe that's a different concept for a lot of us. Okay, second item on this agenda. And where did I put the agenda? Good grief. Okay. So we talked about who should be tithing? It's everybody who is a member of the body of the Messiah. You tithe because we're part of the Melchizedek priesthood. And it is not an option.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not an option. The tenth is holy unto Yah. He says, bring it to me. You don't pay tithes when you feel like it. Let me say that again. You don't pay tithes when you feel like it. You pay tithes because it belongs to the Most High.
Amen, brother.
And he says, if you're late with his money, there is a penalty. People don't think that there's a penalty with tithes. Don't think they got a late charge. But the Most High said there's a late charge. So when you go before him and he says, well, what happened to your tithe?
Mm.
Only you can answer that.
Yeah.
Well, Most High, I was going to pay it, or I was paying it. See, because people look at, they look at the tithe like they're paying a man. But you're not paying a man. Your tithe belongs to the Most High. So he says, bring it to me. You give it to a man, but it really is like the man is collecting for who?
The Father.
The Most High. And the Most High says, what I do with it, I give it to my priesthood for their service to me. Okay. So who gets the tithes? Who does it belong to? It belongs to the priesthood. It belongs to the Most High. The Most High says he gives it to his priesthood for their service. Even in the New Testament, those that preach the gospel, teach the gospel, should eat of the gospel. And if everybody was doing what they were supposed to do, let me ask you this. Ask everyone this and we'll move on. If all the United States, and this is what's going to happen in the future, and I hope everybody understands this. If all of the United States, what do you think would be the tenth of the gross national product of the United States? Let's make it simple. Let's say the gross national product of the United States, and you can go look this up, let's say it was $26 trillion for 2021.
Mm-hmm.
What's one-tenth of that? That belongs to the Most High. One-tenth of $26 trillion. So $2.6 trillion.
Yeah.
Would belong to the Most High. Would do you think the Most High plan to be poor?
Nope.
No.
Do you think he planned for his priesthood to be poor?
No.
No.
If he says, I give my tithe to the priesthood is not supposed to be what?
Poor.
They're supposed to be blessed.
Nah.
So, somewhere along the line, you know, people start thinking that, you know, if you're a clergy, if you're part of the clergy, you're supposed to be poor. But if you're part of the clergy and you're getting paid what you're supposed to get paid, you won't be poor.
Man.
The Most High, you know, you serve an Elohim that made sure you won't be poor. You're not supposed to be living for what, riches? But he says, I'm going to bless you abundantly. So you ain't lacking nothing. But the world has this, you know, has sold this picture of the poor clergyman. No, that's not what the Most High set up. Okay. He don't want us living for the money. But if everything is done the way it's supposed to be, the priesthood wouldn't be poor. That's why the Catholic Church surely ain't poor.
Yeah.
That's how they put up all those cathedrals and, you know, everything everywhere. They understood what was supposed to happen. Okay. So just understand that the Most High never intended that his priesthood or his people be poor. When the millennial kingdom comes, the entire world will tie to the nation of Israel.
Amen.
The entire world. 1/10 of everything that's produced in the world will come to Israel, to his priesthood, to Messiah as king and his priesthood, all those people who are ruling with him. It won't be poor. Okay. Let's understand that. Let's talk about the land. Again, the purpose of the land is so that we can set up a community willing to live by the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, that we would be ready for whatever's happening in these end days, because he's, you know, telling us something is coming. Get ready now. And we don't know the exact time, but we know it's coming. He says, so to get ready, and you need to be in your own communities, because I want you living holy and righteous. It's hard to live holy and righteous when you are a part of this world system and when you have to conform to everything in this world. It's hard to do. If we all made our living amongst each other, you know, and had community like that, then we would all be able to keep what? Sabbath?
Yep.
We would all be able to keep the feast days.
Yep.
We wouldn't have to worry about what the world says, because we wouldn't be depending upon the world. Wouldn't be dependent upon Amazon to give us that paycheck.
Mm.
So we got to work when they say work. We wouldn't be, we would have businesses where we could honor the Sabbath, so we don't work on that day. We honor the Most High because it's our business. That's what enabled me to first start keeping the Sabbath. I had my own company. And because I was the owner of the company, I said, we're not working on Sabbath. I don't care what, you know, all of my customers, when I got a customer, they had to understand, for me to take them as a customer, I know you don't honor Sabbath, but we do. So whereas you're closed on Sundays, we're closed on Saturdays, Friday evening to Saturday evening. And they honored that. So if we're a community and we're living as a community, then we can do that with no problem. You know, there's nobody, you know, having to say, well, yeah, I got to stay up. Now, the priesthood always corrupted the Sabbath. That's what the scripture said. That's what Messiah said. But they weren't charged for it. Why? Because they were doing the work of the Most High. The priest's job was to make the sacrifices, right?
Amen.
They were making those sacrifices on Sabbath. Servile work. But it said it wasn't counted against them. So we got to understand that there's always, what, an exception? So that's what we're doing the land for. We're getting ready for whatever's coming. We want to be in community. We want to raise up a righteous generation. We want to be able to live according to the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. Some ways to finance different projects on the land. And I've been looking at this, and so I was going to bring up some things here. We already know about the microgreen business, and I have some actual pictures to put up of the current crop. Test crop that I'm doing, still missing a couple of steps, I think. As I'm going back, you know, it seemed like all the information is never in one place. So, you know, when they're saying to germinate your seeds, then they say, you know, 3 to 4 days to germinate. And then there's one day that you got to actually put them in darkness. So when you're germinating them, they're in darkness, but then once you take this stone off of them, like I got 15 pounds of weight that everybody's using to put on their plants, the microgreens when they're growing. When you finish that third or fourth day, and you take the stone off, And what the stone does, the reason that you need this stone, is it does a couple of things. It gives the plant something to push against so that it can push its roots through this material, this substrate, or into the soil. So the stone acts like the soil for them in that it gives them the seeds something to push against. And then it allows them to, you know, for their roots to grow through. So that's the purpose of it. And it makes them stronger because when you don't put that stone on there, and I've seen this, if the plants don't have anything to push against, and especially if you're doing these microgreens, then the roots don't actually go down in this substrate material. They don't grow down in there. And so they're just sitting on top, and they're weak. But when you put the stone on there, the seeds will actually push their roots down through this material. Okay. So that business, we are still pursuing that. And this test crop, again, I'm going to do one more after this because I want to make sure that, like I said, I got it down to a science. I'm documenting everything. The plants are growing up. They're growing slower than what I'm seeing online. And so I got to, figure out why are they slower than what I'm seeing online. But I'm thinking that it's that extra day that, turn over take that stone off and then turn the top lid over so that they're in the dark. And now they can spring up, because all this weight is off of them. And they can go ahead and spring up and they're still growing and it's in the dark. And then when you put the light on them, then that's when they start to turn green, start to make chlorophyll. So that's still viable, and we're still looking to do that. Then I'm looking also at becoming a seller on Amazon as a something that doesn't take, full time to do. It's just a matter of going out and finding, the right products and buying them and shipping them to Amazon to sell. It's not really complicated. It's, having an eye for what you think would be a good product that will sell. So if people use a certain type of toothpaste or, they're looking for this type of odd thing, then, if you have access to it or if you can get, products at a discount like Kmart's going out of business or certain store in your area, they carry name brand stuff, but they're going out of business. And the closer that they get to, their date that they got to be out of the store, the cheaper things become. The last day of business that we're open to the public is this day, and we have a 90% sale. And so then you go look and say, oh, here's all these products nobody's bought. They're name brand. They're not going to expire here soon. I could sell these on Amazon. And so looking at that, something that, and anybody that wants to do it, to train them up in doing that as well, because it doesn't take a whole lot of energy. It just takes being able to go around or being able to look in your area for things that are discounted. And you just send it to Amazon, you label it, put your labeling on it, send it to Amazon, and they do the selling. You just provide the product. So you got to be, have a good eye for things that would make a profit. And they give you an application that, you can see if you sell this on Amazon, what it'd be selling for and what your profit is. Okay. And then looking at whole life insurance policies for all the people who want to be on the land. And the reason that I'm doing this is not hoping anybody dies. So I don't get that. That's the furthest thing. Get that out of your mind. But there are things that as a family that you should actually have, if you have family, if you have children, you should have done this or do this for your children or anybody in your family that you want to leave something, and you don't, you know, one of the things that a lot of us don't have is burial insurance, okay? Be surprised how many people die and don't have burial insurance. And the family's trying to, you know, get donations for somebody to help bury their loved one. And if they don't have burial insurance, then typically all of their bills, none of that stuff is taken care of. But what the whole life insurance does is this. You take out a policy, and then on that policy over time, you build up a cash value in that policy. And then you can borrow against that, and it doesn't go against your credit. And if you don't pay it back, it don't go against your credit. But what is it doing is you're borrowing against your own money, so they don't count it against you. Well, if you want to help your children get ahead or whoever, then you should take out a whole life policy on them. Pay for it and then say, okay, you want to start a business or, you know, you want to buy a house? I've taken out this type of insurance policy on you. You can take a cash advance of $300,000. Now, if let's just say it like this. Let's say that if we could afford it, we take out a $4 billion policy on your child. You take out one on your child, a $4 million policy, and that might cost you $100 a month or whatever, whatever that is. In whatever time they say, you're able to take a cash advance, a loan against that policy, they might say, oh, you can take $300,000, $400,000 as a loan against that policy. Now, you're going to continue to pay your premium, but you may not pay anything on that policy. Now, if you're trying to get back get the full death benefit from the policy, then you're going to pay on the loan. But if you don't pay the loan off, you know, it's accruing interest. And so let me just try to make it simple. Let's say you take $400,000 off of the life insurance policy and you don't pay it back, and then it accrues interest and it's $1 million. It's, you know, the whole payback is $1 million. What happens is when that person passes, if they pass before it reaches $4 million, then your life insurance policy would pay off the loan out of whatever money was coming out of the death benefit. It'll pay that off. Then whatever's left, whoever the benefactor is, would get the difference. Well, the goal here is to be able to take the cash advance on the life insurance policy to finance different projects on the land, to finance, you know, buying the shipping containers, to finance doing the sewage, finance, you know, because all of this takes money to do. I'm going to use the tithe that I get to take out whole life insurance policies. I can't just take out a policy on you. You have to agree to it. Because, you know, if that's the case, anybody could go and take out a life insurance policy on anybody, everybody in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But the person has to agree to it. And then the church, because we're going to pay for it, will become the benefactor. Now, I know that, you know, we may want to leave something. And, again, if I'm doing it out of the tithe, I'm doing it out of what the Most High has been sending to me. So it's not going to cost you, the individual, what, anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say you would probably want to do the same thing for your loved ones. That way, you know, for your grandchild.
Hmm.
So it's smart business, okay? You do it for your grandchild. When they get up of age, you know, you've made it where this is being paid on. I forget if you can even pay them off. But when they, you know, get a certain age, then you can, you know, make it known to them, hey, you can borrow against this and this is how you want to work it, you want to pay on it, then when you die, when everybody's going to die, when you die, then your children will, your funeral and everything is paid for, and they'll receive this much in insurance. It'll pay off all my debt, pay off all their debt, in other words, and they leave something to their what? Their children. But they should turn around even before then, because they know what you did. They should do what? Buy a whole lot of insurance policy on their children.
Uh-huh.
And then when they want to start businesses or do it, buy a home, because they've been paying into this policy, they get the money from the whole life insurance policy. Does that make sense to everyone?
Yes, it do, because yeah. I get whole life insurance.
Amen. Amen. So I want to do this for everybody that's a member of the congregation and who is tithing. If they're not tithing, I'm not going to do it, because I want to, you know, I want to say 10% of whatever the final payout is, I want you to be able to name somebody in your family that you want it to go to. They're not going to get all of the money, because the church is going to be paying it. But you can still leave them something if you wanted to. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
You can leave them something out of what I'm going to pay on you. You just have to agree to allow me to pay it and have the policy in pointed to as the church as being the owner.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't be, and it's non-revocable. So then I'm just going to take whatever you pay in tithes and say, okay, I'm going to buy this insurance policy. Because I don't spend the tithe on anything but ministry. I don't take it out and, you know, I could do whatever I wanted to with his mind, according to the scriptures, for my service. But I want to use it to do the work of the Most High. Okay, and that's what I've always done. So I want to be able to do that with each person that is a member. Take out a life, a whole life, or a universal life. Life insurance policy on you. You sign it over. You agree to it. The church is named the benefactor. It is non-reversible. We'll pay the insurance note. You won't have to pay that. You just have to do what? Continue doing what you've been doing, paying your tithe.
Pay your tithe.
And then, you know, I'm willing to say, okay, 10% of the cash value of the payout upon your death will go to whoever you name. Okay, and if you have your own, that's just more that they get. But you wouldn't be paying on this. Does that make sense to everyone that's listening, at least?
Yes, it does.
Like I said, yeah, it makes sense to me, because I already got full life.
All right, amen. So you know you can borrow against that, right?
I do.
Okay, amen. And that's the purpose of it. I'm not really looking for the death benefit, even though that's there. I'm looking for that we can... I think there are those out there that you can borrow against immediately, and there are those that you might have to wait a year or two before you can borrow against. And then on those, you know, you can borrow up like the $300,000 or $400,000. With that kind of cash at hand, everything that we want to do, we will be able to do it, and with a quickness. You know, we won't have to be trying to do it over years. We say, oh, well, I get a policy, you get a policy, whomever get a policy, and we have all this cash at hand, then everything that we need from the water, the sewer, the housing, we just put it all in at one time.
Uh-huh.
And then whatever we don't use in pursuit of, you know, once everything is done on the land, then it will go toward, as new members join, and want to take part in this, this will be, you know, a requirement. And they understand that their tithe, this is what their tithe is going toward, then buy more land, expand the community, and do the, you know, do kingdom business as far as spreading the gospel. So we want to make it to where it's going to do what it is that we're trying to do. Okay? So I will be talking to each one of you individually, and, you know, you can tell me yay or nay, whether you're down for it or not. And as I said, I will take it out of the tithe and, you know, make sure that it's paid monthly. And when, you know, the whole purpose is when the church is able to take a cash advance on that policy, it will take a cash advance to do things toward the land so that we can get this done quicker. And it's not, you know, if you're tithing, then that money's already out of your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is in the bank, drawing interest. If I do ministry work, any ministry work that I do, I usually take it out of the tithe. But, you know, I can guarantee you this. It ain't being sent to the casino. It ain't being taken to the casino. It ain't being spent on wanton women. It ain't being drank up. You know, it's not being used for anything other than kingdom business. You know, and like I said, the truth of the matter is, you know, it is my money, and I'll choose to use it in the ministry. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So I'll be talking to you guys about that. And like I said, only thing that you have to do is continue to pay your tithe. And then for those people who leave or they no longer want to be associated with the ministry, the policy is not, you know, they can't reverse the policy when they leave because it's not reversible, but they're not paying for it anyway. Now, I just have to look to myself and pay it out of, you know, the church funds.
Right, because you're paying it with your tithes.
Right. And that's so that we can get this, you know, get this thing done. As I said, you know, we're supposed to be as what? As smart as a serpent, as wise as a serpent, but as harmless as a what?
Dove.
As a dove.
Oh, my bad.
Amen. So if I'm taking the tithe that you're sending in and I'm using it in that way, I think it's a smart thing to do. Is it harming you in any way?
No, not at all. Because if you constantly paying your tithes, you're not going to miss it anyway.
Right. That's what you
said. It's not harming you in any way, the individual.
Anyway.
None.
It ain't like,
still achieving
it ain't like
what we're trying to achieve.
Amen.
It ain't like
achieve what we
want to
achieve. And like I said, the whole goal is that the community will produce in abundance. I know what equipment we need to, you know, produce our own water out of the air. The ones that I want from my research, they are not cheap. And so, and to do it at capacity, the capacity that we would need for our community, I'm not talking about producing, you know, 50 gallons of water a day. I'm talking about producing on the order of about 500 gallons of water a day or more. That way we have enough for, you know, once we store what we need, then we can produce for the crops. We can produce for, you know, whatever need a family has, you know, showering and all this kind of stuff. But the first couple of days that I put this unit in place, it will be producing just to fill up, you know, the reserve water bladders that we're going to put in place, you know, underground. And all this water will be once the machine is paid off, the water is actually free to us. Because it will pull it, like I said, from the atmosphere. So, and then the electricity, we will use solar and we will use propane. Solar is free from the sun. The propane costs us about $200 a month. And we would, you know, put in big enough tanks to where we wouldn't have to buy it every month, but we have multiple tanks. And it would run the generators. And one generator will power eight full-size homes. But, you know, the way we're doing this, you know, we will all be connected. It'll be communal living, a communal kitchen, you know, so everybody won't need a stove in their place. I'm still of the mind to allow for refrigerators in each house. You know, I don't want to call it a house like that, but each
section, unit.
I need to, unit. So, you know, you have the bedroom, you have a kitchen, you have the bathroom, you know, the dining area, that, you know, that you can have your own stuff in, but the vast, you know, all the meals and everything, breakfast, lunch, dinner, you know, will be communal. And we'll be eating from the food that we produce on the land, that we grow, whether, you know, live animals and the plants, because it's to become self-sufficient like that. That way, when it comes to the point where the Most High says it's going to get, and we don't even want to be off the land, we don't want to have anything to do with the world, we won't have to. We will be what?
Self-sufficient.
Okay. We won't need the world, whatever's going on in the world, because there's another outbreak coming, pandemic. It's going to be worse.
Oh, yeah.
But there's other financial things that are coming, and so I want to do these things, like I said, with a quickness. Most I put this on my heart the other night, and with as far as the, you know, the insurance goes. And I was like, you know, Miles, you're not thinking as wise as a serpent. And I think I was dreaming. And so I woke up. I said, okay, let me start looking at this, because this is a quick way to produce the money. And nobody's really got to work themselves to debt. And we can do these things and be living in, you know, comfortably. We still got to get up every day and do whatever we need on the land. The crops aren't going to grow themselves. The animals aren't going to take care of themselves. But, you know, 2, 3, 4 hours max every day, then you're free to do whatever you want to do, whatever that is. So, we have to understand that. That's where we're at, and that's what we're looking at doing, being that way. So, you know, we grow the crops, we harvest them, we grow our own animals. If we want to hunt, we hunt for, you know, a different type of meat. I'm thinking that for the vast majority of this, the only thing we would really need the real world for in the beginning is, like I said, go, if we're meat eaters, then we want to go and buy what, like a half a cow or a whole cow, already butchered, and, you know, have it on ice. Then we have all our, you know, we have our meat, chickens and things like that, goats. So that is how I am proposing. That seems to be the quickest way. The whole life insurance policies, and I got a guy coming to buy to talk to me about this, to give me, you know, particulars and what's the best way to go about it, which ones will pay out the quickest, so that, you know, I don't want to be tearing. Like I said, this urgency that the Most High has in my spirit, I'm trying to get these things done with a quickness and not over time. I don't want to take years because I don't think we got years.
Right.
I don't think we have years to get this done. So this is to get it done with a quickness. We will continue to work toward, you know, what we're working toward, but then we want that large infusion of cash, and it'll allow us to do things a lot quicker. So even setting up, you know, because Most High has put it on my heart that we should have set up an indoor gun range to teach people how to shoot, because it may come down to we have to defend ourselves. And I don't have to leave the property to do that. So, you know, I'll take a shipping container and convert it into a gun range. You know, we would, when I was in ROTC, we had a building that we had for that. And so we do the same thing. Take a shipping container or two and, you know, put them in a hillside so the bullets don't go anywhere. No chance of a bullet going somewhere and killing somebody. You know, teach people how to shoot, how to defend yourself.
Right.
Yeah. And so we want, you know, those things take money, and this whole life insurance policy seems to be the quickest way there to the type of money that we need.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So I'll be talking to you guys about it. And then, you know, I'll tell you what type of policy I'm going to take, how much. You don't, you know, and it's just you signing, saying, yeah, you agree to the policy. It's not reversible. The benefactor will be Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. And, you know, and that will be the gist of it. That's what the law requires. If not, I could just say, oh, I'm going to take out a whole life insurance policy on anybody I wanted to.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, then cash out on it, and then when they die, get paid off of that too. That's not the goal here. The goal is to finance what we need now, because I pray that we're all here.
Amen.
And that we are able to, you know, with confidence, invite those people in that the Most High is sending who are going to do the right thing.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't have to do anything out of desperation.
Right.
Nothing out of desperation, because, you know, the bottom line is a lot of things go bad when you do them out of what? Desperation.
Yeah.
So this is a plan, and so, like I said, anybody coming in, you know, all they got to do is they're going to be paying tithes anyway. I'm just letting them know that I want to take your tithes and take out a life insurance, a whole life insurance policy on you, and the ministry, the body will borrow against that policy when it's mature enough. And it'll go toward these things, which I, you know, really, again, I'm telling them all that so that they understand that this is one way of them, for them to what? Contribute?
Yeah.
And it's not using anything. It's not requiring them to do any more than what they would already be doing.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So the different projects. We got the food, you know, the cultivating of the land, the setting up of, like, we have 200 acres. One, for every 35 acres, I want to dedicate 1 acre to food, you know, and we won't do it right away, but as, you know, we get more people on the land and we have the requirement for it, then I'm already going to have 1 acre for every 35, which should feed you know, an abundance of people dedicated for the food. So that would mean 4 acres, a total of 4 acres, 35, 70, 105, 140, 170. So roughly about 6 or 7 acres would be dedicated for food in the end. And that would be to support, you know, the community as the population grows. And then electrical power, we would be, you know, always planning that we have to add either more solar panels and more generators to support, and that would be as, you know, as required. As required. And so we want that money to be there and in the bank. We pay cash. You know, don't want to go and put anything on a credit card or get anything on credit.
Amen.
Pay for it in cash. And the only thing that I'm not paying for, and I started to do it this way, and I said, no, it's not smart for me at this moment, but I was going to pay for the land in cash. And I said, no, I got better things to do with the money right now. So we're paying a note on it, but, you know, part of this first infusion would be to pay off as much of the land as possible, pay it off so that we have no note on the land, and all the rest of the funds would go toward, you know, the food is not going to be that expensive, but putting the housing in place. So that, you know, we have sufficient heat, we have sufficient AC. There's nothing like being, nothing like burning up, and there's nothing like freezing.
Amen.
So, you know, put the proper, you know, insulation and things in place in this housing. But also, because it is container housing, everything that we cut out, like as for a window or, you know, the steel that we cut out to insert windows or doors, that same steel will be used to make protective shutters so that if anything should happen, we just lock it down.
Mm-hmm.
And ain't got to worry about nobody shooting through a window, at least not with normal ammunition. It's not going to go through this. Now, if they're using armor piercing, then, you know, I still have to think of, you know, whether it's Kevlar or whether it is whatever's going to be behind that that would come down, and it wouldn't allow the bullet to penetrate. Now, we can't do that all over the place, but, you know, if they're coming with armor piercing, then we just need to be picking them off before they pick us off.
Ooh.
That's the bottom line.
Man.
Talked about the power. The power will be, as I said, propane, gas. We will have to buy that. And then until I can figure out if they come up with a generator that works off of solar or off of battery, because, you know, we will have battery backup as well. And a lot of the solar will have battery banks that when it's nighttime, whatever's running off of that will run off of battery, and then those batteries get recharged during the day. I've looked at the Tesla power packs. Which, you know, are designed to operate a large house. You just buy the battery size that you need for the house. And that would, you know, buying those and putting them in a centralized location, centralized containers where, you know, they are AC'd and they're kept cooled, and they are the, as we grow, we just add to those battery banks. And so at nighttime, whatever we're running from solar, just run from the batteries. And those batteries get replenished. Or we could actually, if push came to shove, flip a switch, and then the electric generators would charge the batteries.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the systems would be redundant. One fails, we still have the other type of deal. So we're designing it that way from the beginning. As I said, the atmospheric water generators, two models. One will generate like 500 gallons a day, and the other one will generate in the thousands a day of water from the air. And I said, hey, I can't afford, right now I can't afford either one, but the one that we would get would cost about $60,000, and it would generate for the community, and it would generate enough water for the community. And then if we, you know, as the community grew, then we would switch it out or buy the one that's more expensive, and I think it was about like $300,000. But it is so that you become your own water station. You actually sell water. It generates so much water. But we want to make it, again, where we are what? Self-sufficient. And as long as it's peacetime and as long as nobody's attacking us, then, you know, we can sell crops, whatever we have overabundance that we don't need. We can sell it to the outside, take it to market. There's a lot of cities, and the reason why I looked at this, let's take, for instance, we all heard about, what, Flint, Michigan?
Yep.
And them pumping, you know, the lead pipes, and them pumping them, you know, dirty water and, you know, water through lead pipes and affecting, you know, the children and everything. But most of the cities, because of, you know, the pollution and the water, you know, oil and gas and all these chemicals that are flowing down through the dirt, the water table is what? Polluted.
Polluted.
Mm-hmm.
They can't even get clean water. And so these machines are the way of the future. And, you know, as soon as I get a chance, you know, I'm supposed to talk to the owner. I talked to him about 4 or 5 months ago. But to get in on the selling of these machines as well as an income, because I believe in him. I believe in him to be able to sell these and sell them to municipalities, the city. So you're not talking about selling, you know, for, you know, a couple of $100,000. You're talking about selling in the millions and millions and millions of dollars and just taking a commission off of that. But for the community itself, you know, to have it for us and that we are self-sufficient. As long as there's air and as long as there's clouds or water vapor in the air, we will be able to get water. And we don't need to have, you know, a large, you know, it don't have to be 50%. As long as it's like 10 or 15% water in the air, this thing will just put out water, you know, tons and tons of water.
Hmm.
So that is the goal there. We talked about sewer before, and I told you guys that I would begin to go map out the area where we would put the septic tanks, because that's, you know, that's going to determine wherever we put the housing. Then that's also going to determine where we put septic tanks, and they have to be away from the housing. Can't put anything on top of it. No structure on top of it. So we want to have that, you know, and I really want to size the septic tanks and those systems to be able to handle the waste of 10 people at a time,
uh-huh.
So that, actually 40 people at a time, so that, you know, we grow into the septic tank, and as, you know, people come and we add their unit to the module, then their family, then that septic system should be able to handle it, you know, without backing up and that kind of stuff. So, because we are out in the wild, no, we're not going to do an outhouse, because that is just gross.
It is gross.
Yeah, that's just gross. So we'll put in the septic systems, and I've talked to the engineers that are up there in that area. Is, you know, to do a have a what do they call it, a like a saturation test, but they call it something else to see how well the ground actually drains the water. So that'll tell you how deep you have to put your septic system. We'll put that in place, and then, you know, we will run the pipe. And as we're running the pipe, we will make sure that, you know, we add inlets for, you know, eight separate units, eight separate modules, housing units, at the same time. Even if we start off with one, when we put it in the ground, we will add the access points for eight. That way, as we add a module, then we don't have to, we just have to dig to that access point and connect it, you know, that bathroom, that kitchen, to that module, and it is connected to the sewer system, and, you know, it's not going to be a major issue. And then when we have to, you know, go to a whole new unit to add new modules, a whole new unit of eight, then we'll, you know, we'll do a whole other septic system. Okay, but we want to do it, you know, and planning it for growth ahead of time. And as you know, let's say that we take an acre. Yeah, I have to look and see what the requirements are, an acre or a half acre, whatever it is. And that acre, we wouldn't do anything with it. No food, no buildings, no nothing. It will be dedicated to, you know, putting in septic systems and allowing the septic system to grow from there.
Hmm.
So that acre wouldn't be used for anything else. And by the time that we are at capacity, then that whole acre will be nothing but what? Septic. And be dedicated to that. Okay. The housing, as we said, container housing, modular. We will do like the three containers. The way I'm looking at it right now, three containers would make up the community kitchen. You know, with enough seating for everybody. If we have to add containers to that to make it large enough, then we would do that. Stoves and everything. I would want two types of stoves in there. Don't really want to run electric stoves. So gas and then wood burning, so that, you know, if push came to shove, then, you know, if we had to cook off of wood burning stoves and they generate heat, then it would be dual purpose. And then we could just, you know, use the wood that's on the land. Refrigeration, that's always that. Got to have it. We can't live today without it. We have to look and see. In the 1700s, 1800s, how did they, you know, I think they smoked their meat.
Yeah.
And salted it to preserve
it.
So we may have to look into that because, you know, again, we have to have fallback measures so that if we don't have power, if something, the worst happens, and we have to go back to before there was electricity, we need to be able to what? Do that and survive. Okay, so that means that we smoke some of our meat, we preserve some in salt, which is a natural preservative, then we do that. And then, you know, we freeze what we have. And then come up with a schedule, whoever's in charge of the food that they, you know, that we are using some of it from each of those and replenishing so that nothing in there gets really what old.
All right.
You know, so that's rotated. We're using some from cold storage, and we're using some from smoked, those storages, and then whatever we have preserved or canned or jarred, however we do it, that we're rotating it on a regular basis. Okay, what time? We're at 7 o'clock. We'll stop here. for this. I won't do the bylaws. We'll do the bylaw review next week. We'll do a bylaw review on confronting believers in sin and how Yah reacts to people who do not forgive. We'll do that as to how we as a community will handle it. And as it is going to be in the bylaws, we'll do that. I think that's the only thing we didn't get to on tonight. But I don't want to keep everybody over. So I'm trying to think if there's something I'm supposed to be doing, but I just have to look at my agenda and see what it is. But, I need to upload the pictures. I did on the hydroponics. I started handling the mildew, not the mildew, but the algae issue, and it's about to turn hot here, and so the algae is going to go crazy in the hydroponic system, in the hydroponic systems. And, you know, even those that were up under the light during the winter, if algae got into them, like when I brought the strawberries from outside, they had already started suffering from, you know, being infected with algae. When I put them in that hydroponic unit, it just sort of transferred in there. I didn't get it all. So I cleaned up that unit, and what I did was I went and bought like a thick rubber mat that I could cut up. So I cut it, you know, I cut it into circles, and I covered up all the holes on all of the hydroponics where light could come through. The piping on the ones on the outside, that pipe thickness is thick enough to where the light won't go through it, but where I had cut the holes in for the hydroponic little neti pots that the plant grows in, where I had cut those holes and they were not didn't have anything in them, the light would go through and contribute to the algae growth. And on the reservoir, I bought like 20, didn't know better at the time, but I bought 20 like clear plastic tanks that I was going to use for reservoirs for different plants. So I had to buy black paint, and I started painting those black. So I painted the reservoir to the one outside black so that light wouldn't go through it, and it won't, you know, algae won't build up in that tank. And then the hole where the water returns, you know, it pumps water up into the hydroponic system. That water drains back into the tank. The hole where the water drains into the tank, I put a made a cover, like a plastic cover or a rubber cover that goes over the spout. It covers that up so that light won't go in there. So I made a short video of it. I will send that out or upload it so that you can see it. Pictures of the microgreens for this test. I got a reharvest on the greens, and I can't, you know, I said I wasn't going to forget the name of this plant again and forgot the name of it again, but it's ready to harvest again. So, you know, tomorrow my day is going to be spent painting containers. I did create, you know, I told you guys we're going to do potatoes, sweet potatoes and white potatoes. So I created those, the containers that they grow in today. I cut out, and I took pictures of it, and I will upload those of how they're made. And so I'm going to plant those or start growing the sprouts. I have the potatoes already. I start growing those sprouts. I'm not going to do it in water because water takes too long. From all my research, take a potato and put it in, put it, you know, for the white potatoes, you don't really have to do that. Just, well, those you have to put in water. But like the sweet potatoes, you put them in dirt and they will start to sprout. And then you break those off and then put them in water and then put them back in dirt to grow the sweet potatoes. I'm going to do the watermelons, the watermelons and the cantaloupe. the cucumbers, and the watermelon I did see that you can do it hydroponically, so I'm not going to put them in the ground. I was going to put them in buckets, but I saw today where they can be done hydroponically. So these 26-quart containers that I bought, you know, a while back that I said I have to paint black, I'm going to grow the watermelon and all these things from seed, and then I'm going to transfer them into, you know, these units, and then the only thing I do is make sure that the water, the grow solution, stays up in these units. And I can't put them on the same, you know, reservoir, because at different times they will need a different type of nutrient to make them do whatever they need to do. So when, you know, when they're first growing, you do a certain type of nutrient for, you know, growth and make it grow big and green. And then when they start flowering, like the strawberries that I'm going to start over, when they first, they'll start flowering when they're small, but you don't really want that. And any type, you know, if they put off runners, you don't want that either. You want to cut those off, and then the plant will concentrate on just creating a big plant. Then once it gets big, then you want it to let it go ahead and flower. So you change the nutrients to make it flower, and then it'll start growing strawberries. So I'm going to do that. I saw a video where rather than starting from a seed on the strawberries, I had seen a video where they would take the runner and put it in soil and start a new plant. Then a brother, you know, had a video out there, hey, you can do this in your hydroponic unit. Just cut the runner off, put the stem down in your hydroponic unit, and make sure that, you know, the part that would be growing roots, that it is, it's, you know, connected to the growing media that's in that little neti pot, and it'll start growing roots. It'll get the feed from the hydroponic unit. It'll start growing roots down through there, and then the roots will eventually go into the water. And then, you know, so I may buy a couple of plants and let them create runners just to do that so that, you know, but I also want to grow some from seed so that, you know, we are able to do that and know how it's done to see the whole process. So the next couple of weeks will be busy for me because it is starting to heat up, and it's not so hot yet, but this is the time to put those crops in. And, you know, so I have put a lot of stuff in the ground, then checking it in the morning, checking it in the evening to make sure things are going okay. So we're going to, you know, like I said, we're going to do the cucumbers, the squash, the cantaloupe, the potatoes, tomatoes. There's some other plants that we're going to do. But, you know, once I do this one unit, I'll show you guys how I'm doing it. And I'm not going to, you know, put a water pump in all of these. I'm just going to I bought the aeration systems a while back that'll do like 16 of these pots at one time. So there'll be everything that runs this year, like the watermelon, the cantaloupe, squash, potatoes, like the, you know, I actually thought sweet potatoes grew up underground. They don't.
I didn't know that either.
No, they grow on a vine. So I think that vine will grow a potato up underground, but, you know, you don't, you know, like the potatoes, the white potatoes, they grow right up under the plant. The sweet potatoes have a running vine, and it produces a potato from that vine. So everything that runs this year, I'm not going to put it in the greenhouse. I'm going to put it outside the greenhouse, and I'm just going to let it run. I'm just going to let it run and let it, you know, produce. And I'm going to soak the ground. I'm going to be making a lot of compost tea. I'm going to soak the ground, you know, everywhere where these plants are going to go. I'm going to soak the ground. I'm not going to use manure, though. I'm going to make a compost tea without manure because the compost tea should vitalize the soil, which there's already stuff growing there, but they're weeds. I'm going to dig them up and let these vines grow there. But then all the natural enemies that are in the soil, this compost tea is supposed to take care of. So, you know, as I said, in the greenhouse outside where I got the tomato plants, I don't know why I can't remember the name of this plant, but it's growing good. I haven't seen any pests yet, none. And I soaked down these beds with compost tea, which is what, you know, it said that even weeds won't really grow well if the right things are in the ground. And I haven't seen, you know, a weed infection. I've seen a couple, but nothing like, you know, what's outside of it where I didn't put the compost tea. Weeds are trying to come up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that this works, at least that portion of it, it works. And so the next couple of weeks, like I said, I'm going to be busy making sure that I get this stuff done. And in the ground and well on its way. The microgreens, to start marking, like I said, we've got one more crop to grow as a test. We got a crop in right now. I actually really killed the salad. I know I killed it, the salad mix. I didn't cover them up for that extra day in the dark, and they weren't strong enough. And the light just sort of burnt them up, dried them out. And I didn't water them soon enough, or maybe I didn't put enough water in initially. But you know, you live and learn. Started a new crop.
Yeah.
They should go into the dark for a day. Today is Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So at the end of the Sabbath, I will put them in the dark, and then, Sunday, I will put them up under the light. They should be bigger and healthier and grow better if I'm understanding the process better for them now. And once that crop comes up, I plan to harvest it, like I said, and eat from it. The sunflower seeds are growing good. The shells are trying, you know, some of the shells on the sunflower seeds have come off. And the green leaves have come out on some of the plants. I expect that within the next 2 or 3 days, all of them will be, you know, green, no shells left on top, and they should just be growing tall. But I'm needing to figure out how to make them grow faster. I think they're growing retarded. And what I mean by that is, you know, their growth is, I'm thinking from what I've seen online, their growth is stunted, and I need to know why. What did I not do? Because they get pretty tall, and they're not as tall as what I think they should be at this time. And these, at least not according to, you know, what I'm seeing online. So the next growth cycle will be a test for them as well, and that will be to try to get them to grow taller faster. If that means leaving them, you know, to germinate an extra day and then putting them in the dark as well, then, you know, that's what I'll do. And the peas are the same way. The peas are the slowest ones. And so I'm thinking that for all of them, leaving them in the dark, you know, taking the weight off of them once the, you know, that's required, take the weight off of them and put them in the dark, turn that same, the bin that you're using, but I ordered some more bins so that I wouldn't have to do this. So these bins will be dedicated to the weight, and I'll just take another bin and flip it on top of there so that they are in the dark for they're growing in the dark with no weight on them for another day. That seems to be the trick. So we'll see. But I will keep you informed. So that's all I have for this meeting. Any questions?
No.
No, sir. But I do have something I want to say.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I want to thank the Father for Sister Denise because she looks out for me.
Amen.
Oh, thank you.
Amen. We thank the Father for her, too, for looking out for you.
Yep, she looks out for me.
Amen.
Yep.
And you
whenever
got the phone
set up, right
work on Wi-Fi now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, she got me
now,
set up.
Now, you still calling me from the old number because this is not the new number.
No, because Denise told me to use my house phone. So I'm being obedient.
Oh, amen. It's easier, especially if they want to charge you for calls that don't go out over the Wi-Fi, over the Internet.
I know.
Right.
But, yeah, your phone should automatically, if you connect your cell phone to the Wi-Fi.
Well, see, that's just it. I thought I was connected. I didn't know. But Sister Denise is straightening it out. I'm connected.
Okay, then whenever you make a call, as long as you're at home and at the Wi-Fi, your phone senses the Wi-Fi, it'll send the call out through the Wi-Fi. If
all
the
right.
Wi-Fi is down,
right.
Then it's going to use, you know, your data package. It's going to use your cell phone, the cell tower, to make the call.
Oh, okay.
Right, and that's what it was doing.
Yeah, so it means that your phone, you didn't actually connect your cell phone to your house Wi-Fi.
To the Wi-Fi. No.
Well, see, I didn't know I had to do that.
Amen.
I didn't know.
Yeah, they should have told you that, but that is the way it's designed. That way the call going over the Internet either costs nothing or is cheaper than going through you don't use the minutes on your phone.
On my beta thing. But
it's
okay.
Through the Wi-Fi.
Okay.
All
well,
right.
She got
so,
me straightened up. She hooked me up.
Amen. Good. Good for that. Then let us bow our heads and we will then adjourn this meeting. Father, yeah, we thank you for this meeting tonight. I thank you for my sisters and all those that called in, even those that when they found out we were talking about tithes that left, because people do that. We thank you for them even as well, Father, that you would encourage them to honor you in all ways and that they would see the vision and that they would buy into it and understand what we're doing is for the benefit of the community and for to do the work that you have set before us. Father, bless each and every person as they go their separate ways on tonight. Keep them safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And with that, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray. Amen.
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 I make a motion that we adjourn this meeting. All in favor say aye.
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 Oh, actually, we can't even do that. We can't even do that. I make
can't
a motion that we
that.
Adjourn this meeting. I need a second.
I second.
I second.
All right, amen. All in favor say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Say nay. The ayes have it. I want to say to those listeners that are online who are listening over the Internet, if you're listening from another country, if you want to give to this ministry, go to the website www.yazglobalkingdom.org, and there is a gift button, and you can give through that button. And then on the announcements, when I send out the announcements, I usually put in a link that if you want to give to this ministry, that you can give through PayPal or you can mail it directly to our mailing address. That being said, Yah loves you and I love you. Shalom, family.
Shalom, brother.
Shalom.
And let's see. Where are you at? There you are.
everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, I live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump. Lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a bus. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, I live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a